Welcome to the Harrison Faith Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Herring. It's our prayer this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
If you're big on titles, tonight's title is Choosing Resilience When You Feel Like Giving Up. Choosing resilience when you feel like giving up. And I think for the most part, most of us have kind of enjoyed this series because we all felt like we've been in this. They kind of go together. Sundays and Wednesdays kind of go together as far as trusting the process when you're in the middle of a process with God. And I believe this week we're going to, on Sunday, close it out in a big way. But I think it's so important that we understand that God has chosen us to respond a certain way, deal with things how we feel, and then also trust him in the process when going through all this. And so if you've ever felt like throwing in the towel, we've all been there. You ever feel like just giving up and walking away from it all? Whether it be the job, whether it be the family, whether it's been me and you just want to walk out right now. Whatever it is, we've all felt like giving up at some point. We've all felt like it's just we're at the very end of what we've been at. You felt like trusting God. You feel like you've trusted him so many. You've tried trusting in your family. You tried trusting in all these things. And you just say, it's not worth it. I'm just going to give up. I'm going to walk out. The problem is most of us give up right before our big breakthrough. I can't tell you how many times I've dealt with a family or walked with a family. And God is just about ready to do something. And just when it's starting to turn the corner, they give up. They said, I've tried. It's not worth trying anymore. And you just want to say, what is wrong with you? And shake them, but it doesn't do any good. And they give up right before the big breakthrough. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that. And we're going to go to Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 7. We'll get through all the way to verse 10. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. Don't be misled. God's justice will not be mocked. You will always harvest what you plant, or you will always reap what you sow. No one ever plants peppers and expects to get tomatoes. If you plant peppers, you get peppers. If you plant corn, you get corn. And so you always harvest. And then he goes into the spiritual side of that. Those who live only to satisfy their sinful nature will harvest decay and death from the sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Here's the very first thing I want you to understand. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you, but he wants to bless you. But you know, there's some things and requirements on our side. You can't harvest. You can't be blessed on what you're not given. You can, if you do sinful things, you reap decay. You reap death. But if you do what God wants, there's a spiritual blessing that God wants to bless you with, that God has for you, that God desires for you. But it begins by acting on the right things, by living to please the things of the Spirit. I want to please God. I want God to be pleased on what I'm doing. And so therefore, my job is to go into it. So God wants to bless us, but we have to understand that God is not a vending machine handing out just what we want. I put in this and I get out this. And so sometimes we get the idea that the blessings of God are like a vending machine. If I do this, I'll get out of it what I want. And it's frustrating when it doesn't happen that way. He doesn't just hand out health or whatever you want just by putting in the right tools. But God does want to bless us. God wants to bless all of us. I believe that. I pray God's blessings on my family. I pray God's blessing on this church. I pray blessings on your family. Can't tell you how many times I or the staff or all of us together have walked these pews and walked in there, and we know where you sit on Sunday morning. We call your name out. We call you and your family name out. We call that God would bless you in your finances so that you won't be in one, that God would bless you with your health. But I do believe that there's a portion that is on our responsibility, according to Galatians, that we have to sow good things in the Spirit for God to do that. He's God, and he blesses us, and he blesses us big, but he blesses us how he wants. He wants to bless us abundantly. I believe that's his desire for all of us. The Bible is filled with evidence of times where God has intervened and blessed people far beyond what they ever desired or hoped for. But they're still suffering. Doesn't mean that we won't be without suffering. You may even have to endure persecution. Jesus told us that much. But we understand this. The promises that God promises will either bless us here and now or eventually in eternity, we will inherit unimaginable blessings from God. So he goes on to verse 9. He says, so don't get tired of doing what is good, because right when you beg for it, that's when you're going to get it. Just seeing if you're paying attention. Y'all are really quiet. It's not what it says at all. It says, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Here's the second thing. God wants to bless me in his time. God doesn't want to bless me in my time. It's in his timing. Because there's many things that as we're struggling and we're like, God, I need your blessings on my life right now. I need you to intervene right now. God doesn't intervene on that time. The issue is that if we won't get tired, which is usually when most of us give up, and at God's timing, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If I could encourage anyone in the middle of a situation, of a trial, of a problem, and you're going through some deep scenarios, I would encourage you to do this. Don't give up. Keep in, keep praying, keep pushing in, keep battling, keep fighting the enemy, keep getting in the middle of your prayer time. Don't give up. The devil doesn't give up. Keep pressing in, keep pressing in, keep pressing in. I would tell you, don't give up. We're in a world of generation that's used to everything immediate. You know, the cell phone is the death of waiting. We don't wait for our news, we get it immediately. In the middle of the night, about 2 a.m, you got a national weather alert. And you're like, there's a tornado coming. You look at it, it's flooding. Why'd you wake me up for this? Okay, that was me. Maybe you were concerned about flooding. I was not. And I thought there was a tornado. I'm shaking because it wakes me up out of a deep sleep. And that's not what I was looking for. And the problem is that we give up, we get frustrated, but in God's timing, he wants us to get blessed, but we can't give up. We got to pay attention to what God's doing. Don't give up. Keep pressing in. And the problem is that we want everything immediately. The news, immediate. We want food, immediate. We don't want to wait. We go to fast food. We punch in numbers in a microwave. We don't like waiting, but the best food is worth waiting for. Nobody gets mad that grandma has spent all day in the kitchen and waiting on that food because you know what's going to be great. But we have become a generation that is so in the immediate that we don't know how to wait on the blessings of God. And we don't know how to carry that into our Christian walk, which means tarrying in the altar. That word tarry is a word that we don't familiarize ourselves. And so, Wednesday night's our prayer service. And the reason why we developed prayer service is because we had prayer meeting and nobody showed up. I'm not dogging on anybody, but you know, we're all believers and Christians in here. Let's just be honest. There's a saying that says that you can tell how popular the church is by how many come on Sunday morning. You can tell how popular the pastor is by who comes on Sunday night. And you can tell how popular Jesus is by who comes to prayer meeting. and the truth is, the struggle is that people weren't praying. So we decided we'd have a prayer service where there'd be an intense focus on prayer, but we would do it in the service so it'd be easier that everybody, regardless of where your walk in faith is. But growing up, there was a time where we talked about tearing the altars, and after hearing a full worship set and after hearing a full sermon, and not a short-winded preacher, but a 45-minute sometimes sermon, an hour sermon, we would come to the altar and we would tarry in the altar. We would pray. This wasn't a let's pray at least 2 minutes before we walk out of here. And we feel like we've been praying for 30 minutes, but then we look at our watch, it's only been 2 minutes. This is we got a hold of God. And if you couldn't get a hold of God by yourself, some dear old brother or dear old sister would come on the other side of the altar and they'd grab your elbows, and you didn't feel like you could stop praying until they stopped praying. And you're done and you're still done, but they're still praying because they knew how to tarry and touch God. And I think that that's where we don't know. We don't know how to pray and tarry in the altar and spend time with God. When's the last time that you know, everybody says that, you know, I just don't know where God is in this situation. God won't intervene on my family. God won't intervene on my situations that I'm going through, the battle, the emotional, the depression. But when's the last time that we, or as individuals, spent time tarrying, praying, not necessarily in these altars, but in any altar, the altar in your home? My kids would tell you all the time, they would get up in the middle of the night and say, Dad, what are you doing walking outside our door? I was praying for them. I can't help it that the board squeak, but they're like, you're waking me up. I can't go to sleep. And so sometimes I'd just go up there and I'd sit at the top of the stairs. And but you know, when you're concerned enough, when you're panicked enough, and you want the blessings of God on your family, you learn to wait and tarry until He's ready to bless them. I want to be the one that says, "Lord, I'm going to hang on to You, Lord, till You bless me." Many people want the blessing. They don't want to do the tearing. They don't want to do the battle. They don't want to do the fighting. And so I'm concerned, and we try to talk a lot up and get people on the altar. But I'm concerned that we're losing a generation of prayer warriors. With every person that passes away that used to go to our church that's in the nursing home that's passing away, we're losing a generation of prayer warriors. People that cover us in prayer, people that pray. And my concern is this, and if you've been in church very long, this should be your concern, is that we're walking in the blessings of their prayer. We're walking in the covering of their prayer. And when that generation is no more, who's going to cover us in prayer? So, for my daughter's sake, Madison, for my grown of kids, Michaela and Joshua, I can't depend on anyone else. I've got to stand in the gap for them. And I need and I want and I'm desiring some people to rise up and say, you know what, yes. And you know, we push a lot on the host team, and I think that's the first front line for visitors wanting to come back, how they're greeted, how they're welcomed. But you know what else we need? We need some people that can pray. You say, I don't know how to talk to people, but I know how to talk to God. I need you. I need people that know how to touch heaven and can touch not just for your family but beyond, because we've got a generation that we need to begin to stand in the gap as they begin to pass on. As they're achieving and reaching their reward that we're talking about, the blessings, we need some other people to rise up and step in that gap. I remember my mom praying. I remember my dad praying. I've been over at Saunders' house where her mom would be up early in the morning reading her Bible, praying. When she was at our house this past week, she picked up my Bible, and I thought, oh, Lord, what's she reading? I thought she might be leaving me notes in there. You need to. No, but she didn't. She was much sweeter than that. But you know, we need people that would rise up. Sandra's dad was a great man of faith and power. We talked about him a lot, and it was the easiest funeral to do because he had lived such a godly life. And I, at his funeral, I preached, "There's a man in the city." And it was a story in the Bible that they were trying to go and they couldn't find something. They said, "But listen, there's a man of God in the city." And I talked the whole message about Saunders' dad's funeral was, there's a man of God in the city and that everybody knew about because he had a great reputation. And I just wondered, are there going to be anybody else that we can say that about in the next 10 years, that there's a man in the city, that they know that there's a man of God who prays, there's a woman of God who prays and touch heaven, that you can go and you can find them? That's what we need. We need some people willing to stand in the gap. And so this is where a lot of us get tripped up, because we like the idea of God's blessings. We don't like the idea of waiting and tarrying and delay. Delay's a tough thing. When you're trying to sell your house and you've already moved out and you're waiting and the finances aren't there and you don't know how you're going to pay both house payments and you're trying to figure that out. When you have got a serious medical problem, situation you're facing, and you don't know how you're going to do it, much less pay the medical bill afterwards. When you're struggling with your marriage and your family, when you feel like you're losing your kids to a lifestyle of sin, when you feel like you're losing your life, your kids to a lifestyle that is so far from your faith and you don't know how you're going to turn around from this, what do? When you find out your spouse is having an affair, what do? We need some people willing to tarry and say, you know what? I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the enemy says. I don't care what anything else is going on. I'm going to tarry and trust God in the process. We need some people willing to stand in the gap and pray. And I'll tell you this. I'll pray for you, and I do pray for you. But with everything going on in the world, we need more than my prayers for your family. We need some other people to rise up and stand in those gaps. Verse 10, it goes on, it says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good for everyone. Lord, did you really mean to everyone? There's some people I don't like. There's some people that are mean. There's some people that are just rude. There are some people that are just so awkward. Do good to everyone. Do good whether it's convenient or whether it's not convenient. In fact, I think God blesses you more when it's not convenient. Here's what I tell our staff all the time, and here's what you need to know. Sometimes the interruptions are where you're supposed to be. There's blessings in the interruptions. Jesus was going from one place to heal Jairus' daughter. He gets stopped with a woman of issue of blood, and he stopped there. And in that moment, we've heard probably more sermons on the woman with the issue of blood than we ever have about Jairus' daughter. But what's the issue is that the interruption was where he needed to be. Sometimes interruptions are the blessings. Sometimes we're so busy trying to get from one place to the next, we don't stop and walk slowly enough and realize that the interruption, the person that you just said, oh, Lord, not them today, may be the very same person you need to talk to. So here it is. To receive God's best blessing, give him your best life. Your best. Because we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. So not only that, you should do good to everyone, but especially to the people that's in here, especially the people you do life with in your church, in your faith, you walk with in your faith. Do good to everyone, but especially these people. But isn't it interesting that sometimes these people are the ones that we avoid for whatever reason? Said it 1,000 times. Our people, listen, we have a lot of messed up people, messy people that aren't perfect. That's all right. That's why I'm here. Because I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm not a perfect man. Neither are you. And so we're a life of people that are imperfect, who love Jesus with all our heart, that are striving to be perfect. We want to be what God wants us to be, but we're not perfect, and that's okay. We're living for God, but we need to be the best that we can every day. So three big secrets of living a life content with God's blessing and God's timing. Number one, live your life to please God. Don't live your life to please anyone else. Live your life to please God. If you live your life to please God, other things will begin to not matter as much. I don't care what people say. I don't care what people say that I do, as long as I'm pleasing God. The only thing that I need to live for is I need to, first of all, live to please God. Second thing, live your life to serve others. That's where we struggle. Live your life to serve others. Again, you guys are great. We have abundance of people that are more than the average who serve, and we need more people serving because we want to reach more lost, and we want to reach more people, and we have an abundance of people serving, but we need more people. But I will tell you this, when you take your eyes off of you and you put your eyes on someone else and serve them, all of a sudden, the cares of this world seem small. I've never gone to a missions trip where it didn't shake my world more than I shook theirs. I'm going to a foreign country. I'm going to a impoverished neighborhood. And what's happening inside of me is well far more greater than any ministry I'm doing for them. The third thing is live for the long-term payoff. Don't live for the short-term payoff. You want to live a life and find contentment? Live for the long-term payoff. Live your life in a way for the big, long-term payoff. It's going to, don't leave for the immediate, live for the long-term. Something is greater if you wait. Sondra and I started retirement, and we started putting back for our retirement, and we got a little nest egg. It's not much, but we're building it. But why? There's no payoff in the immediate, but we're believing that one day, the Lord tarries, we're going to need it. We're living for the long-term payoff. Heaven. God has got something great for you. Don't live for the now. Live for for eternity, because God has got something greater. We don't talk about heaven a lot as much as we should, and we should talk about it a whole lot more, because heaven is a reality. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, and for us believers, there is a heaven. And I'll tell you, except for some people that I'm deeply concerned about, I want them to come today. For me and Sandra, it would be the best thing ever. For some of the people I loved out, I'm terrified that they're not ready. My only lack of desire is not for me, it's for those that I love that I'm worried it's going to miss out. And I think if we just give them a little more time. So here's godly resilience. Godly resilience is patiently and consistently serving others for his sake while waiting on him to bless you in his time and in his way. Just leave that part up there during the rest of this, because I just, in case anybody wants to write that down. Godly resilience is patiently and consistently serving others for his sake while waiting on him to bless you in his time and in his way. There may be things you need from God and you've been too timid to ask him. You know what? Go ahead and ask him. Or you may be frustrated. There may be things you expected or demanded of God. He didn't answer it and he didn't do it in your time frame. Decide today to wait. Decide the day that you're going to take time and an opportunity. You're just going to wait. I don't want to wait. Well, neither do I. But it's worth. Anything God does is worth the wait. It is. You can write that down too. Anything God does is worth the wait. If you can just wait on God, it's worth the wait. So in the middle of your frustration, find resilience. Find the resilience to trust him because God absolutely adores and loves you, but sometimes in the middle of all the emotion, in the middle of the problems, it's frustrating. Any parent in here has said at some point, Lord, I would take on any pain if you would just take this off my kid. But we can't. So you got to trust the process. And you got to trust God, and you got to build up resilience, and you got to fight the devil, and you got to pray, and you got to bind the devil, and you got to pray, and you got to fight the devil, and you got to pray, and you got to pray, and pray, and pray, and pray, and pray. The enemy does come like a roaring lion, seeking who may devour, but there's another lion. The Bible says he's the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he's the one who fights for us.